Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Naralo Monthly Teleconference on Monday, the 14th of July, 2014 at 1900 UTC. On the call today, we have Alan Greenberg, Alan Skuse, Glenn McKnight, Gordon Chillicott, Matthew Ranton, Robert Castingay, Louis Hooley, Olivia Crippen-LeBlond, Garth Graham, Darlene Thompson, Jolie McPhee, Garth Bruin, Ogie Mateev, and Charlie, I apologize, I did not catch your last name. We have apologies from Eduardo Diaz and Christian Casas. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Ariel Yang, Joe Catapano, Kathy Schmidt, and myself, Terry Agnew. I'd also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Garth.
Thank you very much. This is Garth Bruin. I want to welcome everybody to the call, but I want to turn it right over to Glenn McKnight, Secretary, to read all of our action items. Thank you.
Okay. Based on our action items here, I have the first item, Susie Johnson, to gather latest Naralo brochures. We had 50, 25, and 25 on the Spanish. I remember we had them at our booth, the Fair of Opportunities, and I want to follow up with Susie because I did not take any extras with me, so I'll need to make sure she mails them to me. Second item to Heidi is on transcription for ICANN's sessions. Thirdly, Alan, to confirm the Naralo election schedule to put on the wiki. Fourthly, staff again to follow up on the turnaround for transcripts of all meetings. Back to Garth has a suggestion to post them on a single page with all media listed. And lastly, to Heidi to follow up on Janice and Rob on whether a crop request can be submitted even before the 2015 budget has been approved. So back to you.
Okay. Thank you. Glenn, are you looking at 7/14/2014?
Yeah, I clicked on it's the agenda that's posted, and it says monthly June 2014, but it's linking to, it looked like it linked to the May,
okay.
May action items.
All right. Do you see the action item that says that the first one about the application for Online News Association?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. I didn't hear that. Did you read that one off? I must have been asleep or something.
Let me just, for the record, go through 2.1. Staff, please advise, I guess it's Natalie, to advise on the status of the application Online News Association. 2.2, Natalie again. The ALS RELO database to show the date of updating. Please advise on the status. I guess it's 2.3. It reads 2.4. Natalie's again to notify RELO leaders and the ALAC members with the RELO ALS database update. And again, that was an item I mentioned earlier in terms of the forwarding and sending to us the copies of the brochures. The 2.6 is the election issues, and it'll be an item in our today. And 2.7 is for all to read the notes on the June report. Thank you. Back to you.
Thank you. So this is Garth Bruin. Staff, do we have an update on the ALS application for Online News Association?
Hi, this is Heidi, for the record. And we have Sylvia and Natalie who are on vacation still. So we don't have an update on that particular one, but I can try and find it, and I will get back to you. While I have the floor, Garth, would you like me to update you on the other two that are Natalie's?
Yeah, if you could, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, so the latest I've heard on that is that we are still working with legal, and we're almost there. There's just one small detail to be sorted out, and I think it's, again, maybe that legal person is on vacation. So I would think that this is going to be resolved in the next week or two. I know that Natalie is also working with IT, just continuing getting the online form ready for it. You know, it's posting online. So
okay.
We're moving ahead with that.
Okay. Glenn, this is Garth again for the transcript. Glenn, were you also saying that you wanted more copies of the brochure?
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't take any with me. We did have a lot at our table. Unfortunately, because I was getting different things back at the end of the fair, I did not take copies. So, yes, I would love to have copies. I probably won't have them in time for the IETF this weekend, but I think I have some old ones that I can use. But, yes, I would appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. So, staff, if the chair and the secretary could both get copies, do you want the same amount as me? Do you want 100 with 50, 25, and 25?
That would be fine, thank you.
Okay, all right. We'll make a note of that. Okay, as the call agenda notes, we have an election pending for some, not for all, and I want to make sure that everybody is clear on the election details. The meeting agenda number 3 begins the election discussion. The first item is linked to the current Naralo elections details, very, very thorough details on the positions and the different nominations. It's important that everybody understands within the process that the nomination period is now closed. And I believe the acceptance period is dated until the 17th, but given that I am not aware of any failures to accept, except I do have to discuss one issue with Murray's nomination, I don't think that we have to stick to that date unless people want to stick to that date of the 17th. We can begin actual elections sooner. In terms of Murray, I received a note stating that Murray had declined the nomination. Now, is Murray on the call, or can anyone else attest to this? Because I had not seen a notice of it.
Garth, it's Glenn. I noticed it on the wiki, but I did not talk to him, and I don't see anything in email from him, and I don't see him online.
Okay. So, I mean, I only have the change in the wiki, and I only have Ariel's notice about it. The only message I have directly from Murray is that he accepted the nomination. So unless I hear otherwise, his name will remain as a nominee unless somebody else has a further knowledge.
Garth, this is Ariel speaking. I just forwarded you an email from Murray to Alan. Alan suggested Murray to be the representative for the unaffiliated members, and Murray said he is happy to play the role as stated. I just forwarded you that email. I know you were actually CC'd in the email.
Within that email, it says that he declines the nomination for the other post. Is that true?
In that email, he didn't explicitly said that. It's only on the wiki, he said. He put the decline notice there.
Okay.
Garth,
all right.
Alan,
please go ahead.
Yeah, someone keeps on lowering my hand. I don't know who it is. I did talk to Murray about it because of what Ariel just mentioned, that is with respect to the unaffiliated vote. He obviously couldn't do that if he was in a contested position. So I did talk to him. He said he was going to send an email. I'll note that the nomination and acceptance did not go out onto the Naralo list. For some reason, the nomination and acceptance, the nomination was only sent to a selected number of people and staff, and the acceptance only went there. So there's actually been nothing on the public list about that nomination at all. Other than what is shown on the wiki. He did say he was going to send an email to all parties. I don't really know what happened. He did confirm to me verbally, however, that he would not. He was declining it, as the wiki says, because I couldn't be suggesting him as the unaffiliated rep if indeed he was running for a position. So I'm pretty sure that's the case. We obviously need to get an email from him really quickly to confirm that before the election starts. Hopefully we can do that today, though.
Yeah, okay. I think that we should be able to handle the situation just in the temporary space. I'm not going to remove his name from candidacy.
Yeah,
but we'll keep in mind all these other messages.
Yeah, I'll note that in any case, that's not a selection for Naralo. It's a recommendation, and we could... we could decide to simply forward both names, and if he withdraws, he withdraws.
Okay. Okay, that's acceptable.
Murray is on Skype. I'm going to send him a message and see if we can get him to wake up.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if we can resolve this, that would be really, really helpful. So with that in mind, the election period is scheduled to begin by July 18th. I put in by July 18th because if we have no need to wait for acceptance of any nominations, we can begin sooner. I do want to make sure that everybody is notified properly of the vote and everybody has the ability to vote. But we can begin that sooner, and I think that everybody would probably be happier if it did begin sooner because it may be holding up some clarifications within appointed posts elsewhere, and it may just move things along a little bit quicker. So then just to readdress that in terms of schedule, after the election, the elected officers will be seated or reseated in October. Last year, we had an extended period where, because of a tie, it went on a little bit longer than expected, and hopefully we will not run into that problem again thanks to some changes in our operating procedures, which help break ties a little bit easier. The tie-breaking procedure last time was a little bit more complicated and had some other strange idiosyncrasies that just made it a little bit more difficult. But it should be a little bit easier to resolve now if that happens. So going on to the actual posts themselves. Now, what we're going to do here for two posts, which so far only have single person nominated for them, and since the nominations are closed, that will be the case. Considering that the first one is me for chair, I do not want to simply seat myself, so I'm going to ask that the secretary put out a call for consensus to reseat me as chair. If you're prepared to do that, secretary, I would appreciate it.
I'd be happy to do that. So I'll send it to the list then.
Thank you. So, okay, I see a note about hands up, and Alan made a note about hands up. For some reason, I cannot see hands going up. Oh, wait, I see Alan Greenberg's hand up. Alan, is that an old hand?
No, that's a new hand.
Okay, go ahead, Alan, please.
Yeah, I don't think we need a call for consensus. I think we just need to have you and Evan declared the winners by acclamation. There is only one person. I don't believe we have a problem other than to simply note that you are the ones.
This is Garth. Alan, let me put it this way. I have a problem asking for the acclamation. I would rather that somebody else do it.
Have no problems suggesting it if you'd like.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
It's Glenn. Darlene's hand was up earlier. I'm not sure if she's still. Oh, yeah. Okay. There's Darlene's hand up again.
You have the floor.
Thank you. Darlene Thompson. Yes, supporting what Alan was saying, first of all, about the acclamation, that is how we've always done it in the past. So I would support what Alan was saying, that it, as you know, for those posts that only have one person that's on them, that they just be acclaimed, because that's how it has been done in the past. So precedent has been set. So I would support that for sure. Now, I had a question on something Alan said earlier, and maybe I wasn't listening properly or just didn't get it. Why is it that Murray McKercher can't run for both the post of unaffiliated rep and something else? Why is he prevented from that? Thank you.
This is God. It's an excellent question, and I'll let Alan address that, and I'll address the other issue after.
Thank you. It's not an issue of running for the position. The position is not vacant. We normally fill it at the beginning of the year, effective, in October. But right now I'm the unaffiliated rep, but I thought it was the optics are not good to have me overseeing the unaffiliated vote when I'm one of the candidates. So I suggested that since Murray did it last time and he knows what the mechanics are, I suggested that he do that. And so far none of the unaffiliated members have objected to that.
But it's not that he's the rep. It's just that he's replacing the rep for the purposes of this election.
Okay, great. Thank you, Zen. It just sounded like something wasn't going right there, so that's perfectly understandable.
No,
thank you.
You're quite correct. If it was actually trying to fill the position, there'd be no such rule about having two different roles.
Right, exactly. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. This is Garth again. Notwithstanding what Alan and Darlene said, I do want to make sure that this process is as democratic as possible and that everybody in the region is aware of their ability to participate, object, et cetera, et cetera. Avery, I note your entry in the chat, and I think that there is room for this to be a proposal to say that we, maybe we have elections with a none of the above item within the election. If you would be willing to write up that suggestion, we can put it into the discussion, Avery. If you, Avery, I'm listening to everything you're saying. I mean, I definitely am, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to, put your suggestion in. But moving on. On to
Garth, this is Heidi. Just
Heidi.
To let you know, it appears that Murray is on the call.
Okay. Murray, this is Garth. If you can hear me, can you clarify your standing in the nomination for the non-com representative? Because there has been a suggestion that you will not be accepting this nomination. And I wanted to make sure, because I had not seen an official notice from you, that this was the case. And Murray is typing, so I'm going to give him a minute to finish typing. I have decided I have not to accept. Okay, so that is clarified. So Louis now stands unopposed. Thank you very much, Murray, for clarifying that for us. And moving on to the post of secretary with the single candidate, Evan Leibovich. And unless Evan is not on the call himself, so he cannot further object to being selected for the secretariat post. So then we will, unless he comes on the call later, which Glenn says he might, and we'll give him a moment to speak, we'll move on to the Naralo ALAC post. Now, this particular one, there is not a consensus here. We have two candidates. We have the candidates Alan Greenberg and Glenn McKnight for the post currently held by Evan Leibovich, which is term limited. Now, with that in mind, we do have to hold an election. I would like to make sure that everybody in the region is fully aware of the election, but also that we start it as soon as possible and that staff has time to prepare. We did set out a deadline for the 18th to begin the election. Today is the 14th, Monday. Maybe we can give 48 hours notice of the election and begin the election on Wednesday. Does anybody have any reason, any technical reason, why it might not be feasible to begin the election on Wednesday? I will ask the question again whether or not the region supports having the election. But first, I just want to know if anybody has any technical reasons why it might not occur. Anybody? Okay. So then by affirmation and with consensus, if people could put the agree button or just say that they agree with beginning this election on Wednesday of this week, and I will personally make sure that everybody in the region is aware of the impending election, and we will coordinate with staff to make sure that the election is technically working. Okay, it looks like we have a consensus on the call to go forward with the election. All right, I'll clear the hands. So then we also now, because we have clarified from Louis, from Murray, that he will not be seeking that, we have the single representative, Louis Houle, to be resent to the non-com as the regional representative. Alan, you have your hand up again. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, on that last point, we put the name into the ALEC. The ALEC decides who to send, just to be clear. But what I put my hand up for are you announcing how many days the election is going to be? I would think five is enough, but that's your call, obviously.
Yeah, I think that five is reasonable, considering that if we start on the on Wednesday, we'll be at least 2 days ahead of our original schedule, and that will give people working days and the weekend and the beginning of next week to get their act together and vote. Are you comfortable with that?
I am.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with anything.
Okay. All right. Great. Any further comments? Okay. All right. Fantastic. Heidi is asking, could you please confirm whether the chair and secretary position have officially been selected by acclamation? I believe the secretary was going to send out a notice about that. Glenn, are you there? You said you sent out a notice about that?
Yeah, I'll send something out after this call.
Okay, thank you. So, Heidi, we'll have your question answered
at
the end of the call. Thank you very much. Okay.
I'm sorry, this is Ariel speaking. I just want to clarify one thing about the vote is we will actually have two separate votes for the ALAC rep position. One is the general vote, which include all the ALS representatives and the unaffiliated member representatives. And another is the unaffiliated members vote for the on the same position. And it usually will end one day before the general vote. So I just want to clarify with you whether you want to close the unaffiliated members vote Sunday, July the 20th, before the general vote.
Thank you for the question. I will yield to the unaffiliated structure to address that. How does that usually work?
Alan probably knows.
Yeah, it's Alan speaking. Normally, the chair sets the duration of the overall election, and we end the unaffiliated one 24 hours earlier to make sure the unaffiliated rep has an opportunity to cast a ballot on behalf of the unaffiliated reps.
Okay.
So if you're doing 5 days for the five full days for the regular vote, then it would be four full days or whatever the numbers are.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. So, Ariel, does that clear up the question? Okay. All right, moving on to 3.2, review of the London Atlas 2 meeting, which I was able to meet many of you for the first time and many of you again. And I think it was a great meeting, especially the meeting that we had as a region. Our Naralo General Assembly I thought was a great event, and I appreciate everybody's input and participation in that. And I also appreciate everybody's input and participation in the residents. Before I go into the specifics of the meeting, I wanted to give everybody a chance to make the comments about travel support. The first question I would like to ask, and this is obviously just for people who actually attended the meeting with staff support, with ICANN support, did you receive your per diem? If you did not receive your per diem, let me know, okay? That's the first question. So if you got it and there were no problems, I don't want to hear from you. If you received your per diem, but you received it maybe, say, late, if you received it after you returned home from London. I would also like to hear about that. Would also like to hear the details of that, since I do keep track of all of these travel issues. Also, in general, if there were any problems with your travel in terms of, you know, the hotel reservation issues, for example, maybe it wasn't honored, even if it was corrected, I still would like to know about that just so we keep track of it. I'm aware of Garth's, not this Garth, but Garth Graham's issue with flight reimbursement, and we will start looking into that to make sure that that can be resolved. But before any of that, I want to make sure that anybody else has a chance to let me know. Garth Graham, is denying my claim for flight reimbursement. Okay. Well, all right. So, staff, I am under the impression, and I believe that Garth Graham was under the impression, that he could be reimbursed for his flight, which was self-arranged. And I know that this has been done for many of our representatives in the past, and I'm wondering if, before we contact constituency travel further, if you have any updated information on this.
Hi, Gus. This is Heidi. I was somewhat monitoring the emails during my vacation, but I will now review those emails before speaking with constituency travel, and then I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Thank you very much. And, Garth, you have my promise to continue to follow up. Please keep me updated as to anything that you hear as well. I'll be better able to help you if I know all the details. Now, I just want to ask anybody else if they have any other difficulties. You don't have to bring them up on the call. You can contact me offline. That is perfectly acceptable. But I want you to know that you have the opportunity to do so. Going once, going twice, okay. All right, now, the Fair of Opportunities. Fair of Opportunities, I thought, was a great event. I think that we were really well representative at the Fair of Opportunities. Does anybody who, you know, actually ran the table there have any other input on the that evening?
Garth, it's Glenn. Judith was responsible for the table. She's not on the call, but she did a fantastic job getting people to volunteer with time slots. We had our literature, new literature. We had our banner. We had our television set up with our slideshow. We absolutely had huge interest. It was a great event.
Okay. Jolly is noting that there was no good recording, no remote participation from the fair. Constantine is noting that it was a fantastic event. Carrie is noting that Judith did a good job in encouraging everybody to participate. So I think overall, great event. All right. Next, we had the General Assembly. Also, I just was overwhelmed by everybody's enthusiasm and participation in the General Assembly and all of your ideas. Everybody's ideas are being woven into a document that I've been working on for a while concerning a proposal for something that will assist at large in managing the technical details of everything that we do. And hopefully once I get that draft done, I can share it with everybody and get more commentary from all of you. But everything that was discussed at the General Assembly is going to be part of this document. So everybody's aware of that. Does anybody else have any comments on the General Assembly? Any issues that you wanted to address the General Assembly that didn't get to be addressed? Any other comments? Opening the floor. Nope. Okay. All right. Moving on to the thematic sessions. The thematic sessions were our working groups, and I believe everybody participated in a working group and was part of the thematic session and part of the document creation. And does anybody know what the status of that overall document was? Did anybody hear from the Atlas II committee? I know we had Olivier on the call. Do we have a status update on the final document? Please, Olivier, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. The final document is, I understand, pretty much ready. There's a bit of formatting, a few formatting issues that were there, and not the content itself, but just, you know, the way it looks and so on. I've worked with Ariel and with Dave on this a few days ago, and I expect that we should have something, hopefully today or tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure. It's all in Dave's hands and Ariel's hands. Ariel, would you have more information on this?
Yes, this is Ariel for the record. I am in the process finalizing the names of the participants because we decided to put each thematic group's participant's name at the appendix section. I'm just reconfirming with all the staff in charge for each session to put the names together. And after this Narello call, I will have a call with Dave to clean up the formatting issues we discussed with Olivier. So later today or tomorrow, we will have the document ready.
Thanks very much, General. And just to add, this is all formatting, which was basically taken up to follow the same kind of formatting as the Atlas one, where the names were also listed for some of the working groups or the thematic groups at the time. And I think that it is good to include the names of the participants in the thematic groups, because that's really the declaration is a statement and work from our whole community, and it's very good to have them credited this way. And back to you, Garth. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we'll look forward to seeing that, and I'm sure that there will be an announcement. If people don't get the announcement, they can certainly pester me or staff, and we'll follow up. So in terms of takeaways from the London meeting, does anybody have any kind of anything that they want to add to the meeting itself, to the discussion, any problems you had, some kind of potential improvements? Alan, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. I guess I just want to say what I said at the closing meeting of the summit, that the success of the summit is, in the long term, is going to be gauged not necessarily by the document we submit, but by how useful the summit has been in engaging our ALSs and in making sure that both the participants in the summit and other people within their ALSs stay involved in ICANN and in the RALO and in at large. So everyone who was there has a task to do, and I think it's important that we not forget that. Thank you.
Thank you. Murray, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, it's Murray. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Murray. Please, go ahead.
Very good, thanks. Just checking my mute. I just wanted to sort of second Alan's comment on there. It's really important that we continue to be engaged with these people as much as possible through the at-large. And I think I don't know whether we renamed the Skype chat, but I'm just thinking that we should have some process where we should continue the conversation with those folks as much as possible, and see how many might re-engage with us. I think the measure of the success will be partly on how many of the folks that attended continue to work with us. So just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Much appreciated, Murray. Olivia, you still have your hand up. Do you have another comment?
Yes, thank you very much, Garth. It's Olivia for the transcript. And I was going to bridge into what happened next. I'm in the process of drafting an email to each of the thematic working group chairs to ask them to map the activities of their working group to the standard and ad hoc at-large working groups, since ideally what we'd like to do is to have people to continue being involved in at-large. And the best way to get someone involved is not to be on all the ALAC calls and all of the other calls, because it does take a lot of work to be on so many calls. But certainly starting in a working group, in a topical working group, is an important first step. So this email will go out in the next 24 hours, maybe earlier. We'll put together a little table of the thematic working groups and the at-large working groups, and the chairs and their leaders of each one of the thematic working groups will be asked to put crosses as to where things fit. The reason for this is I have a real feeling if we send a general message to everyone and don't really target it to them, it will be very difficult to get them to, we won't have a high response rate. We really need to target the invitations to the standing working groups in a better way than just doing a generic message out there. If you have any suggestions as to how to do it better and so on, of course, I'm all ears and look forward to hearing from you. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Olivier. We're looking forward to it. Okay. Does anybody else have any experiences that they wish to share about the London event? I see that Sarah has typed into, my only two recommendations would be to have met with all of you prior to the working thematic groups, and I understand there's likely scheduling. Yeah, I mean, Sarah, I completely agree with you. I mean, I feel like there is such a crush at the beginning of the week, because, and this is typical of every ICANN meeting, the at-large, the ALAC business is always right away at the beginning of the weekend. It starts immediately on Saturday and runs through Sunday. And then, of course, our travel arrangements are usually only for the Friday before. There's very, very limited time to actually, interact before a meeting begins. That's one of the reasons I tried to have the breakfast in the hotel that Saturday morning so I could meet as many of you as possible. And then I understand that that didn't work out for everybody because not everybody was arriving the night before. This can make things a little bit difficult. And I'm not completely sure how to address that. I don't know. I mean, other than having a scheduled at-large session as part of the at-large meeting where people can meet for the first time and can meet the rest of the members for the first time before the meeting actually starts, because I think it's extremely useful to do that. But maybe Olivier has a comment. You have your hand up again. No, Olivier pulled his hand down. So I think it does help for all of us to get a sense of who we're working with and to meet face-to-face. And it's difficult to just go right on the ground running and get into a meeting and start working. Yeah, Sarah, it'll probably be easier for you next time, but it's not going to be easier for the next new person. And there will be more new people, hopefully, as we continue to recruit. So Heidi, is perhaps a pre-meeting teleconference could serve the purpose. I mean, I think that we have a lot of phone calls, and the phone calls take up a lot of time. And especially if people are preparing to travel, having another phone call is difficult. I think that if we're going to be meeting in person, having an in-person meeting before the session starts is probably the best thing to do. And we just have to figure out a better way to do it. And I know Loris was also somebody who was struggling with travel issues and couldn't make some of these pre-events. So we'll figure out something. We always seem to come up with solutions. We're really good at that. Okay. So if there are no other takeaways, I want to start talking about the next meeting, which is in Los Angeles. And there's been a little bit of chatter on the list. I haven't been involved in that chatter, but some people have expressed interest in doing something special or preparing for something for the Los Angeles meeting. I believe Glenn participated in that. Glenn, what has the discussion been so far about that upcoming meeting?
Sorry, I was responding to Heidi Skype to me. What was the question?
The question is, there has been a little bit of chatter about events, preparing for events at the Los Angeles meeting, and I think that you were part of the discussion.
Yeah,
so what
there is one of the things that we're working on is at the LA event is an ISOC booth. That's the one thing that we've been discussing. Second thing is, because we didn't get a chance to do an accessibility working group meeting, we're hoping that that will actually happen as well. That's the only two things I've worked on for the LA event.
Okay. This is Garth. I do have something I want to discuss pending the LA meeting, but it's actually more appropriate within the communication outreach section, so I'll wait until we get to that section. Does anybody else have anything that they think would be a critical something to do ahead of the Los Angeles meeting? I'm opening the floor up to anybody, and if you don't have any ideas right now, you can... Constantine has reached out with a proposal for the ISOC San Francisco Bay to help organize, as we are the closest chapter to the LA event. Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of, I mean, I know it's not going to be that much of a problem for our Canadian neighbors, but I have extended, you know, any sort of assistance I can to anybody else from other parts of the world who may have difficulties with travel and immigration in the United States. If anybody else has any suggestions, certainly let me know, and I can talk to the other regional officers about, getting through immigration, if there's a problem with visas or there are other kinds of problems. We can't really always help until we know that there's a problem, and then we can address the problem. But if anybody has any former experiences in dealing with U.S. immigration as a U.S. citizen, I really don't. And I actually applied in the last year for a fast-track service. It's $100 to get pre-listed, pre-screened as a traveler to the United States. And I believe that that is something that is open to foreign residents. I do believe that you can get fast-tracked to the United States if you are not a U.S. citizen and you're a frequent traveler to the United States. And this isn't intended to be a commercial, but if you have an American Express Business Platinum card, they will refund you any of the expenses for becoming a fast-track U.S. visitor. They give you a card, and then you get a profile in the system. You're able to, to use an automated machine at the immigration center in the United States, and the line is much, much quicker. So that's just one thing to be aware of, but I think that there are probably other things that can be done to help people come to the United States if they're having difficulties. Murray has his hand up. Go ahead, Murray.
Yes, thank you, Garth. I just wanted to go commercial on my side, but the fast-tracking between Canada and the United States certainly is a worthwhile thing to take, but you should apply as soon as possible. It's a bit of a process to go through, but I think pre-screening is great, and it'll just make life easier for anyone, so I'd recommend it. I haven't actually gone through the process yet, but I'm intending to do that. Thanks.
It's Garth. I mean, even as an American citizen with no criminal history, it took months. I mean, this is the bureaucracy at full steam, and you just have to be ready to deal with it. Alan, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's eligible to U.S. citizens, U.S. permanent residents, Dutch citizens, South Korean citizens, and Mexican nationals.
And Canadians.
Okay. All right. Just to be aware, I mean, I'm perfectly willing to give other assistance. If somebody just needs a recommendation or something like that, or somebody to sign off on something, so some of our ALAC brothers and sisters can get into the United States, I'll do what I can. And if anybody else is willing to help out in that effort who is an American citizen, that would be great. In terms of the LA meeting itself, it's the 12th to the 16th of October. Future meetings to be announced in the African region for February 2015, Latin America, Caribbean 21 through 25 of June 2015, then Europe the 18th to 22nd of October 2015. Now, I want to mention something about these future meetings on the call, and this is something that I have discussed with Glenn, and it is completely a voluntary item, and it's something that that we've been discussing for a little while. I've been very concerned with the limited amount of sponsored participation at ICANN meetings, and how, you know, we've got many members from the region, and we've got many members who are members of member groups who have difficulty getting to the meetings. And I think it's for our benefit to have as many Neuralo representatives at every meeting as we can possibly get. So I make sure at every meeting that we can get full participation, and then anybody who can come to the meetings, we find a way to get them there. We've played around with the idea of having a vice chair and vice secretary. Doing that officially would require changes to our regional operating procedures. What I am suggesting and what I am offering on a voluntary basis is to allow somebody else within the region to attend one of these future meetings in my place. And I think that this has two values. The first value is that we get more people to go to the meetings. And the second value is that somebody else within the region gets leadership experience. I think it's difficult for people to become leaders until they've had leadership experience. I know that Heidi is noting that that additional leadership positions would not provide additional travel support. That's correct, Heidi. What I'm saying is that I am volunteering to give one of these trips up so that somebody else may experience it and go as a substitute as chair. And I believe that Glenn has discussed the idea of doing the same thing for secretary. How we select this person is still something that is up for debate. But I want everybody to know that I'm very serious about getting more participation from our region, and getting more people actually to the meetings to experience it, and every little bit that we can do helps. So I think that having this kind of rotation is important. Going forward and forcing anybody to do it would obviously require changes to our rules, which is a completely different discussion. But as far as the coming year goes, yes. I'm going to be looking for a substitute for one of the trips. So just keep that in mind. If you are somebody who is very interested in leading the region and you want to attend one of these meetings, just let me know so I can keep your name in mind. And as many people who want to participate, you know, send me an email and let me know. We'll figure out later how we actually do the selection. So I think that this is a good way to get more involvement and get fresh people actually engaged. Okay, moving on. Does anybody else have any comments about the upcoming ICANN meetings, Los Angeles or elsewhere?
I've got my hand up, Garth. It's Alan.
Okay, Alan, go ahead.
Two things on what you were just talking about. First of all, it's a long-established practice that if someone cannot go to a meeting, that the space can be reallocated to someone else within the region, or occasionally we have even given it to someone in another region if there was some, you know, compelling reason why. So that's established practice. I would suggest we have to be just a little bit careful in having people voluntarily say, I'm not going to go, because as one of the people who over the years fought very, very hard, and it was a difficult battle in getting the 25 slots we have. The argument was essentially that we can't expect people to fulfill these roles if you don't provide the travel. And the ALAC members were essentially funded, but the
chair and secretariat were not funded in any guaranteed, consistent way before. So I just think I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with the sentiment, but I think we need to be just a little bit careful to make sure that we're not going to do something which will endanger the long-term funding that we do have right now. So just something to think about as we go forward.
Yep. No, this is Garth. Alan, I completely appreciate the sentiment. What I'm hoping to do is, more than anything else, strengthen our representation. So we can have more experienced people who have been to the meetings and know what to expect, and that those people are prepared to become officers later. That's really, really what I'm looking for.
Noted. And I'll note that the GNSO has had a pilot program for a couple of years, which has provided extra funding for essentially the officers of the stakeholder groups and constituencies. And we might want to think about, on an ALEC basis, not just in Aralo, putting together a pilot program which actually expands the number of travelers to cover just the kind of thing you're talking about. So there's multiple ways I think we want to proceed on this. Thank you.
Yeah. Nope. Much appreciated. Everybody's comments on this are much appreciated. Okay. There have been some other suggested meetings. CTIA's Supermobility Week in September in Las Vegas, the Telco's Big Data event. I believe that those two events are connected, and they're both in Las Vegas. I think those were recommended by Judith. Coming up in my hometown is the Messaging Anti-Abuse Working Group, which I am a member of, and I will be attending that meeting. And I believe that our Neuralo rep from COS and Canada, Neil Schwartzman, will also be attending that meeting. I believe he's on the board of MOG. So if anybody, you know, is, you know, thinking about coming to Boston in the fall, this is a really good event to go to if you are somebody who is concerned about messaging abuse on the Internet, is concerned about spam and hijacking and other things like that. This is really where a lot of the serious discussion happens. So I will be there. There's also the Consumer Electronics Show in January, 6th through 9, 2015, Las Vegas. And then South by Southwest, March 13th through 22nd in Austin, Texas. And there was some discussion about, you know, whether or not the attendees of that particular event would be good targets for recruitment. And some people seem to feel that there was a heavy discussion at South by Southwest about electronic freedom, about policy, that I just personally wasn't aware of. So it should be interesting. Okay, and of course, if you have any other meeting suggestions, any other ideas, and these can all become potential crop opportunities, please send them to me, send them to Glenn, and we'll make a note of them. Moving on to communication strategy, and I just wanted to bring up one of the ideas that I had moving towards Los Angeles in terms of tying in that meeting with recruitment. Because that meeting will be in our region in the United States, I want to continue our idea of geographic and topical recruitment. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a map of all of the areas within North America that our region covers, and I'm going to call it fill in the blanks, and I'm going to show where we have participation, where we don't have participation. And then I want people to start thinking about how we fill in the blanks, how we get participation in the areas where we don't have any right now, and that we use kind of the Los Angeles meeting as a goal, a deadline to fill in that map with ideas. And I'll be communicating that with everybody. And, of course, if you have any ideas, you definitely want to hear them. Does anybody else have any communication outreach discussions they want to bring up before I move to the next topics? I see that there are some meetings mentioned by Jolly and some others, and I see that Stephanie Perrin is on audio. Welcome, Stephanie. And
Sorry.
Yes, somebody.
Heidi,
go ahead, Heidi.
Really quick question. Are you planning, or is Naralo planning an outreach event, like a showcase at the LA meeting, or to have information at the ICANN booth?
Yeah, I think because it's in the United States, that would actually be a really important venue to do that at and invite people from, especially from, you know, the Southern California or anywhere else area to attend. And Glenn has his hand up.
Thank you, Heidi. You stole my thunder. I have posted this to the list and the Skype to start getting volunteers for it. I think it's imperative that we have an outreach initiative, and we just have to sort of start brainstorming what it is. So, yeah, thank you for bringing it up.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is Evan actually on the call now? I saw Evan just Skyped me, but Evan, are you actually on the call?
I am on a moving bus.
Okay. Evan, do you accept the selection of secretary?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That's really all we needed to know at that point. Okay. Moving on. So if nobody else has any other kind of outreach or outreach items, we can move on to the community. Do we have a spotlight this week, Mr. Secretary?
We have Louis here.
Okay, Louis, if you are ready, please proceed.
Yes. Do you hear me?
I can hear you, Louis. Go ahead.
All right. So I have a couple of bullets that I would like to show you.
I believe they're being shared on the screen by staff.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, it's going to be short. First thing, I will be talking about Arts of Quebec, of course. It's been, the chapter has been created in 2000, and our mission, like any other ITOC chapter, is to promote the development, evolution, and free use of the Internet for all citizens of the world, and especially for the Quebec community and French-speaking community at the Quebec level, Canadian level, and internationally. So let's go to the second slide, please. When we're talking about access to Internet, ISOC Quebec supports the principle of universality, a principle that covers some questions very rapidly, some five distinct questions. And the first one is the adequate geographical distribution of access points, access to Internet. So this is why ISOC Quebec has been supporting the creation of the Connect Quebec initiative in 2007. We started many projects using Wi-Fi in regions where the Internet is unavailable or poor quality or inadequate. And we are pretty happy about the results because we are offering high-speed Internet with Connect Quebec for $35 a month, which is not very expensive. We're now shifting to two-way services. It's an implementation, and of course you have to remember that we're always talking about regions and not in metropolitan areas. So the question also of Connect Quebec, the question that we're raising is the tariff structure, which is very, very high in North America, not only in Canada but in the United States. And we pay attention to avoid major exclusions and disparities in the population with the tariff structure. And also, we can move to the next slide, please. And ISOC Quebec's been supporting some projects in schools. At the end of the slide, you can see that we've been going through a study in 2008-2009 with the Office of Cinematography in Quebec, Régie du Cinéma, and we ended up with some projects in schools. We call it the PermaLab project, and the point is to encourage youngs to develop their websites with their thoughts, with their needs. We encourage them, and we provide wireless tools because it's not always available in some regions. There is no internet except dial-up. So, of course, we're proud of that little project because it has an international scope. Kids from regions will be able to contact other schools in the rest of the world, and we have some partnership in Spain, in Canada, and in some French countries in Africa. So we're pretty satisfied with that. It's not very expensive, but it allows youngsters to learn about the internet because they don't have it at home. It's very clear. They don't have it. They have it at school, and they have it in the library, but otherwise they don't have any access. Next slide, please. One of the things that we share a lot is the knowledge transfer and training. So we're now in a project of creating a laboratory in the High Laurentides, Tides, which is pretty cool because pretty northern place. And the goal is to develop faster internet. And to create that laboratory, we are talking with IEEE side project, Special Interest Group on Humanitarian Technology. CROP has been funding me for participating to that IEEE Humanitarian Technology meeting in Montreal at the beginning of June. And we've been working with the IEEE site of Montreal, and they are very interested in our project. And we're also talking with the RISC, which is the Education Network Internet Service Provider for schools, universities, public administration, public administrations, etc. So we've been, you know, trying to connect people, and we are, you know, we share the view that it implies also producers of information in French, and some many different projects, like for instance .Quebec, which is a linguistic and cultural TLD that's going to be available in September 2014. We've been we put an awful lot of energy in the .Quebec project, and now we will be able to see the results. Next slide, please. Our last baby for 2014 is a collaboration with the Organisation Internationale de la Francophonie. So I think you can pick up what it is. The OIF is producing a 2014 report on the state of the digital Francophone community, and we are associated with that. We've been asked by the OIF to coordinate the writing work. So we are coordinating the input from a group of experts of many French countries around the world, in Africa, in Vietnam, in Quebec, in Canada, in France, and so forth. And we are working with OIF on elaborating a comprehensive report to be presented at the Summit of French-speaking Countries in Dakar somewhere in next November. So, next slide, please. So, in short, ISOC Quebec has been founding member of ISOC Francophonie, so we're just, you know, going back to our regular business with French countries. We will emphasize outreach with French ISOC chapters. And we've been also, we're a founding member of Narolo, and we're a founding member of Maillon Network. Maillon in French means link and outreach at the same time. So this is a network of specialists who are working in projects like, for instance, the laboratory that we want to implement in the north. Connect Quebec, I told you, it's Quebec branché sur le monde. And just a last note, the membership growth. We've been outreaching, and when I took chair in 2007, we had 175 members, and now we're up to 650, and it's growing. Next slide, please. Oh, it's the last one, eh? I had a nice slide saying merci beaucoup, but I don't have it, I guess. No, it's not there. Okay. Well, that merci beaucoup is missing. Okay. So I wanted to make it short. So if you have any questions on ISOC Quebec and our project, the collaboration, please let me know.
Merci, Louis, and only the French could link an outreach at the same time.
Yeah.
Much appreciated. As you said, one of the region's founding organizations and one of our great members, one of our great participants, and our representative to the NONCOM. And with that in mind, Louis, do you accept the renomination to NONCOM?
Well, yes. Since Mary has been declining, I will be glad, and I think it's a good thing. If anybody wants to be on the NONCOM, I strongly suggest, for productivity reasons, to be there for 2 years.
Okay. Murray, do you have any reports from the NONCOM while we have you?
Hello, it's Murray. Can you speak? Hear me?
Well, I was asking Louis first if he had a NONCOM report before we go forward.
But no, I don't have a NONCOM report for now.
Okay, thank you. Murray, you have the floor.
Sorry, confusion between Louis and Murray. It's Murray McKercher speaking for the record. I just had a couple of comments. That was a great report from Louis. I noticed when I was in London, I was engaged with the French-speaking African crowd, and we had a few in the Atlas group as well. I was translating back and forth for some of them, but it would be great to see a stronger connection between that Francophonie group internationally, ISOC Quebec, I guess Naralo and ICANN put all those things together. So happy to help out with that at any time. Thanks, Louis.
Louis speaking. Can I?
Please.
Okay. Yes, Murray, thank you for the offer. I met many, many, many Francophones in London, and we have on ISOC Quebec, we also have Charles Robert, who's working very closely with African French countries. So I will note Charles about that, and I'm sure that there will be some interest for Atlas too and all other ICANN activities, actually. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. I just asked Louis about NONCOM reports and have one. Atlas too. Working group reports, the document is being worked on, so those are closed for the moment. Is there any movement on accountability and transparency, any new news in that area? Is anybody on the call aware of it?
Garth, this is Evan.
Okay, Evan, go ahead.
The news is that there really isn't much news, in a sense that there was supposed to be a high-level working group on accountability and transparency. It was actually supposed to be designed, populated, and meeting in London. None of that has happened. So the group, as yet, does not have a formal structure. It has not had people assigned to it. And, of course, it hasn't met yet. So that's really the news. The only thing that is known is that this is needed and that we now start to have groups that have indicated that they want more seats or more this or more that. So now we've had the jockeying for position before the thing actually takes shape.
Okay, Evan. Alan, you have your hand up, please.
Yeah, just on to note on the more general situation, the board did accept all of the ATRT2 recommendations and presumably will be publishing implementation plans in the near future. So that doesn't address the problems that Evan has just identified, which I think are real. But in a more general sense, there is progress.
Okay. So, Evan, just let me clarify. Is there a deadline that's been missed?
To the extent that this group was supposed to actually have had its first meeting in London, yeah, I guess so. what is there a firm deadline that is set now? Not that I'm aware of.
Is there a chair or an interim chair or a staff, you know, coordinator?
Maybe someone in staff can help out with this. I thought this was at the level of Teresa or somebody in ICANN senior staff that was coordinating all this. But essentially, it is now still at the point where there's definitely no chair been picked, and they don't know how many are going to come from each constituency.
Okay. All right. Staff, any information at the moment?
Hi,
this is Heidi.
Who's in charge of this?
Hi, I'm sorry. I just was distracted for a moment. What was the question again?
The high-level accountability working group. Who's in charge of it in senior staff?
I would think it would be Teresa. Perhaps Chris Mondini, do you know the answer to that?
You do realize that this in itself is not a good sign.
It is Teresa.
Okay. Chris Mondini has typed into the chat that it is Teresa. Okay.
Can I just jump in, Mr. Olivier? I'm sorry, I'm not on my computer. Olivier Capon of Non speaking. It is indeed Teresa, and ESSO and AT chairs have selected this afternoon to email Teresa and find out, obtain a status update on this, because we're obviously concerned that this process is not moving forward. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. We should, as a region, make this an action item to follow up and make sure that it does get coordinated. So if we can add that as an action item to our call, that would be much appreciated. Thank you so much. Future Challenges Working Group, Evan, that is also you. Any other updates on that?
Nothing specific. I mean, there were a couple of things that were coming out of the Atlas declaration that were, if you read it, you note that there were things in the Atlas declaration, some of which were targeted at ICANN, some of which were targeted as action items for ALAC itself. So it's highly possible that some of those action items may be delegated to future challenges. And so Jean-Jacques and I have already sort of been on our guard waiting to see what comes out of it, and we'll definitely be looking to see what we can do about that stuff moving forward.
Okay. All right, moving on. This is Garth. We have some crop representatives on the call. Do we have crop updates? I know that the program has been restarted for this coming year. So what do we got for crop?
Darlene Thompson. We have nothing new to announce for crop, except, as you say, it has been extended for the next year. People are welcome to start putting in applications right away. Just don't forget that you do need regional approval before you put in an application. Thanks.
Okay. So just for our new members, for some people on the call, let me see who we have here. There's a couple people on the call who may not be familiar with the crop program. Can you just give us a quick synopsis?
Basically, the crop program is to improve outreach so that the North American RALO can be able to attend different conferences and meetings so that we can improve people's knowledge of the North American RALO and what we do and what we offer, so that hopefully we can get more ALSs and more people interested in at-large and ALAC and what all we do. So if there is a conference that you know of coming by, especially if it hits a group that is lesser represented here in the NORALO, it would be a good idea to put that in front of the region, because that would be the sort of thing that you could travel to and be able to represent the region on. Thanks.
Great, thank you very much. So when we solicit for the agenda upcoming meetings, this is part of the reason we want to give ideas for crop, and we want to let people know of different opportunities that are coming up. Okay. at-large finance and budget committee. Anybody on that committee willing to give a report? No? Okay. Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Working Group. Anybody from that committee on the call? Okay. Board Member Selection Process Committee, I think that work is complete. The At-Large Accessibility Working Group. This is something that has been very important to us, and we want to make sure that this work continues. I know we've had a few members from the region who have joined this working group. There is, of course, no limit to the number of members on the working group, and we want to make sure that we have an agenda for Los Angeles, have a serious agenda for that working group for Los Angeles. So anybody who has any ideas, wants to participate, please let me know or let staff know, and if you want to become part of the working group, we'd love to have you. Glenn is also on that working group. Glenn, do you have any comments on the accessibility?
Yeah, we unfortunately didn't, because of Atlas II, we weren't able to have a normal meeting, but we did have an informal meeting in which has been minuted, and it was very well attended, including ICANN staff, and we're quite excited to be able to see each other face-to-face in L.A., so I think it's getting some legs. I think everyone we talk to really thinks it's a great idea.
Okay. Wonderful. Are there any other working groups, committees not listed who want to give a report? Stephanie Perrine has typed into the chat, I should say that I am on the Privacy Proxy Services Working Group, and the latest news is that they're planning a day-long face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles. Thank you, Stephanie. Okay. So, going once, going twice, any other working groups? No? Okay, moving on to ALAC issues. Going to start with Olivier. Olivier, do we have any ALAC news?
Yes, thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivier Clavant speaking. I haven't got my computer in front of me, unfortunately. At the moment, there are quite a few public comment periods that have opened up. There was one which we've responded to recently, and that's the fiscal year operational plan and strategic plan and the latest budget figures and things. But apart from that, there's been quite a few proposals for two character second level domain restrictions to be changed from what it is at the moment. At the moment, these are for all of the new GTLDs, the second level is restricted for the second for the characters. So you can't have two character domains. And there are quite a few applicants that wish to change this. So there's a real discussion that's taken place over in on the list, on various mailing lists, the at-large list, and the new GTLV mailing list as well. And at the moment, it seems that we don't really have a consensus on whether a statement should be necessary or not, but this is a hot topic as far as our community is concerned at the moment. That's all I can remember from memory. It might be Alan might know more, or Evan, or Ariel might be able to take us to a few of the others. That seems to be the majority of the questions at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. We actually have a rather interesting situation here, which doesn't happen as often as I would like to see it happen. It's not that we haven't decided if we have a statement. We have different positions that are diametrically opposed. Some people saying, yeah, the name should be released and even more, and other people saying they shouldn't at all. And this, of course, in light of the fact that there are a lot of GTLDs where ICANN has released the two-character codes that are not country codes. So I think it's a healthy situation that we're actually having a debate on substance, not just people agreeing with everyone. But I'm not quite sure where it's going to turn out, and I would actually doubt if we're in a position to have a statement that the ALAC could vote on in the time frame we have, given the rather divided position.
Yeah, this is Garth. I mean, I'm not even sure that enough people understand what the issue is to be able to decide on it. I mean, just so everybody is aware, I mean, two-letter TLDs are reserved for countries and regions, and these are particular countries and regions that are designated by the International Standards Organization. And I would think just personally that in order to avoid confusion, that it wouldn't be allowed for new GTLDs to have just a two-letter code, because it could create some confusion.
Yeah, Garth, if I may, the issue is not at the top level. That's long settled. The issue is can a registry have a second level domain? So, for instance, if there's a new .travel, would BA.travel be allowed?
Okay.
Now, there are two situations. One is BA is a country code, and I honestly don't remember if it is. And if it's a country code, the rules are very clear. The registry has to negotiate with the country to be able to release it. The question
okay.
is for codes that are currently not allocated at all to any countries. They are not in the 3166 list. And the argument essentially that's being made is if those codes are allocated at some time in the future, then those countries and a two-letter domain with that character string has already been registered, then those countries would not have the same right as countries that existed prior to that, or territories existed prior to that.
Yeah.
The question is really, is there going to be confusion? Now, this is in light with there are a number of TLDs that already have been allowed to register non-allocated country codes, as it were, at the second level. And there are many CCTLDs that do it also.
Yeah, this is Garth.
But
is
there a real user issue here? And that's the question that's being debated.
Yeah, I know that, you know, for example, in U.UK, they have co.UK, which seems to be in conflict with .co for Colombia.
Yeah. Country codes make up their own rules for that, so that's completely outside of our domain.
Yeah. I'm generally concerned, this is Garth, about kind of the opening of little ICANNs within the GTLD space, and we've already kind of seen this with Central NIC second-level TLDs, where they've kind of created their own structure, you know, that I don't know, that operates within its own space and accredits its own registrars. And I don't know. I just wonder if that's going to take the thunder from CCTLDs.
Garth, this is Evan.
Yeah, go ahead, Evan.
I'm one of those in the stance of saying if I had my way, they'd all be opened up. You have circumstances where two-letter combinations can be other acronyms. They can be words like IS, JE, and so on. And so for the same reasons that I'm not particularly fond of locking these things away in more than two-letter names, I really don't see the point. I can't cross the confusion boundary a long time ago, where you have .com and .co. Yeah, I know that .co is not under ICANN's jurisdiction, but the public doesn't know that. And so the idea that there's public confusion going on, I think is absolutely a red herring. There's two separate things that are being conflated, one of which is the confusion issue, which, as I said, I think is a red herring, and the other one is an entitlement issue. That is, should we lock every possible two-letter domain away because some yet-to-be-created country might want to be entitled to the two-letter designation? And, I mean, to me, this is just to the point of ridiculousness. If it's not a public confusion issue, then really I don't think ALAC has much to say on it. And, in fact, if I recall correctly, Alan and I at the beginning even suggested this thing didn't need a statement from ALAC at all. Thanks.
Alan, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we need to be a little bit careful because there's no one on this call who's advocating the opposite position. So you're clearly getting, you know, a perhaps biased position. because Evan and I are pretty strongly on the position that if some new territory is allocated a code in the future, the chance of there being widespread confusion over it is not all that likely. But, you know, as I said, this probably isn't the right place to have this discussion because there is no one on the other taking the other position on the call at the moment.
Okay. I was trying to play devil's advocate, but I wasn't doing very well. Okay, moving on to any other ALAC issues. Evan, do you have any other ALAC issues?
Not that I can think of. I think based on some things I've seen within about the last 48, 72 hours, I think the whole IANA and transparency things are going to mushroom into a sea of complexity with working groups, coordination groups, cross-community working groups, and a whole bunch of different groups that are going to have some things in common, some things separate, some common memberships, some uncommon memberships. There's going to be an absolute zoo of groups within ICANN that are all trying to point towards the same things. This is going to be extremely difficult to keep track of. And so we're going to need to have as many eyes on this as possible, because when something is this complex, I have a real fear that a really, really determined player that has a specific agenda can basically come up and sneak something through. And so for this reason, the complexity here works against us, and we're really going to have to watch on. We're really going to have to watch ourselves here. Thanks.
This is Garth. Evan, I'm not sure if you misspoke or I misheard it, but either way, I just came up with an ingenious new term. Instead of agenda, ingenda. Maybe you did say ingenda, but I think maybe we can start using that. Eduardo is not on the call. Alan, did you have any further ALAC issues?
Nothing that comes to mind at the moment.
Okay. All right. We have been on the call for a while. I want to open up the discussion to any other business before I close the call. Does anybody have any other business?
This is
okay.
Charlie. I just want to remind everybody that the IGF USA is on Wednesday, and we'll be webcasting all three tracks to igf.usa.us.
Okay. Thank you very much, Charlie. So with that being said, look for election announcements. If you are an ALS representative and you do not get an election announcement, please contact me or Glenn immediately. And I will be contacting you directly, all of you anyway, to make sure that you make sure that you're involved in the election. So thank you very much. Thank you, staff, and I will talk to you later.
Later.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Salut.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Once again, our meeting has been adjourned. Please disconnect all remaining lines, and thank you for joining.